Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo DiCanio, West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Hello, good evening and welcome. Sorry, that's not that one. Good evening, good afternoon or good morning. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Like your fucking frost.
Did you like that?
Podcast. Oh, you're a fucking band,
aren't you? I know. Season 11, episode 4. And the old gang's back in town. Obviously, the Booches, being it's international break, have decided to take a break themselves. Because they go, it's a football podcast, Sean. There's nothing to talk about in football. But that is where they're wrong. That is where they're wrong. With me tonight is, of course, Nigel. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed watching a video of a dog scoring in Chile.
Excellent. There we go.
I'd say that again. I'm watching a video of a dog scoring a goal from Chile.
Whatever that means.
Quite a goal. Well, I mean, to be fair, I've seen Colton Cole score worse.
Ooh, cheeky.
You got it in for him, didn't ya? Fucking hell, he knows how to make friends and influence people.
I know.
Come on, Nigel. Fucking hell.
I know, I always like
Colton. Truth hurts.
We'll get Coley on.
I like him. Listen, I've got... I can hear myself coming back and it's very off-putting. Sort your levels out, son. Anyway, you know, he had this habit of scoring shit goals. Now, a goal is a goal. It don't matter where it goes in. Yeah? And if you're good at scoring shit goals, at least you're good at getting goals, isn't it? Just ignore the shit bit. But
he was on Talk Sport this week, calling...
Oh, mate. Yeah.
West Ham bigger than Tottenham. That's really funny.
Yeah. It is funny. The reason it's funny, because obviously it ain't true.
It is true. Anyway, also with us... Canning Town Lane, now where are you? What are you doing?
Doing another pod with you.
Do you do a lot of other pods then? When you say another pod, do you do any other pods?
No, just the one. Come round quickly.
So you're not like Ian Dale or Nigel Kahn. How many pods have you been on in the last 7 days,
no.
Nigel?
In the last 7 days?
Yeah.
Do you include like Iron United or whatever they want to call themselves?
Everything you're for.
So I've been on a couple, yeah. Actually, the one that came out, the podcast that came out that I was on for 45 minutes talking about West Ham was recorded 4 weeks ago.
Wise Man Say?
No, it wasn't Wise Man Say.
I thought were on Wise Man Say.
No, Wise Man Say is the Sunderland one that I do appear on now and again, but generally when West Ham play Sunderland... Which ain't been for a while.
Okay, which one was it then?
It's called Man on the Post. I can see you're struggling, Nigel.
That's it. Man on the Post. Man on the Post.
And of course, and it's not Irons United anymore. Keep with their brand. They're called West Ham Network now.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you, the West Ham Network.
That's sponsored by Manscaped. Anyway.
I'm not being funny, right? Manscaped are sponsoring everything. I noticed that they're now sponsoring the West Ham is Why We Drink podcast.
Yeah. Just to be clear, right? Can we reveal how sausages are made?
Well, we turned it down, didn't we?
We turned it down. Do you know why we turned it down, right?
You turned it down? You never told me how much it was for.
£45 to do a one-off.
Hold up. My vote to turn it down was because I would feel funny about advertising something I don't use.
I ain't going to use it. Because once we split that five ways, we'd like get £9 each and some products we might not use. So.
Yeah, but it ain't about the money for me. That's
anyway,
the thing.
We're probably giving
if I'm
going to
advertise a product, I'd rather advertise Carrick Glen Still Spring Water that I send to drink.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, for me,
I could draw my hairy bollocks and raise more than £45.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Well, you got a picture of Russ already done, so there you are.
And not only that, but guess what? They said to us, this is our normal fee, but give us our lowest price you do it for. So they said, you know, a normal fee is 45, you know, for our listeners and everything, £45. And so God knows how much they're offering some of the other podcasts that have got lower readerships, listenerships than us. And then they went, but give us your lowest price to do one ad. But go away. Behave. We're not that desperate. We don't do it for the money. Anyway, I can't be asked to talk about international. I really can't, unless we're going to talk later about Declan Rice and his meme of throwing the cup and everything. I can't be asked to talk about internationals. So let's talk about West Ham in the news. Let's talk about transfers, because obviously we last recorded last week. And the transfer window wasn't finished. So we'd done, if I remember right, and tell me if I'm wrong, Nigel and Len, we'd done the deal with Vastik. We'd done the deal with... what did we do on... We hadn't done the deal with Crow, have we? Alex Crow. No? What time did we record last week?
Monday, wasn't it?
What time? That's a day.
Well, probably. Transfer deadline day was Tuesday anyway. So
was it Tuesday?
Bloody...
That's a good point. Right.
Oh, darn.
Good point. Well,
Well made.
What business did we do on transfer deadline day, Nigel?
We did Crow, isn't it?
Yeah, in it.
And we done Vlasic.
So Vlasic.
About £30 million worth of transfer fees.
Yeah, so Vlasic was 26 million at 30 million euros, which is almost 26 million in a transfer fee.
Yeah,
another 8 million euros, 7 million pound of add-ons, believed to be about, I think it's on a 5-year contract, 66 grand a week. Not bad from what he was on before. Crow was obviously another Croatian. I understand the loan.
Can
fee
I
now,
just point out? He's not another Croatian because he's Czech.
Czech, yes, sorry. Vlasic is a Croatian. You're right, another Czech mate. You're right, absolutely, touche. Another Czech Republic player to the forte. £3.5 million, I understand, in a loan fee. £12 million obligation to buy. Based on appearances, don't know how many, but usually 15 or 20, and £5 million of options. When you add that all up, you get to over 60, £67 million in transfer fees, and if you add on the options, it gets you to £90 million. Not a bad transfer window after everybody, you know, as I spoke to someone at the club, and they talked to me the old cliches, hare and the tortoise, and what's the other one? All good things come to those who wait.
Yeah.
It was a good transfer window, wasn't it, boys?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I'll jump in there. It was a good transfer window. Again, you could argue that Moyes has gone for what he felt would be quality over quantity, and also... he wanted players would be able to come into the first team,
yeah,
probably as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So therefore, you can only. It looks like we're continuing in the vein of Moyes is controlling who comes.
And I'll come
not
back
so much
to that
the deals
later.
And what
absolutely.
We pay for.
He turned down Mikhailenovic or whatever his name is, and went with Zuma, even though he was earning a pile. A week. You know, Lingard turned us down, right? Let's be really clear. Lingard turned our back, didn't want to sign for us. You know, David Moyes did talk to him, did meet with him, did chat to him. He said, no, I understand his father is very controlling in his career. No, I'm going to not sign. I'm going to wait out my time on Man United. Apparently, he'll see how it is in January, but it might be too late. David Moyes might go, no, actually, don't want you anymore. Got enough, you know.
No, but I think, to be fair to Lingard, I think after what he'd done with West Ham, you know, played really, I know it was against, you know, the Tinker Taylor and the candlestick makers, butchered the baker and
it didn't, they didn't
and everybody
look,
else and the
special.
Postman.
Even Carlton Cole could have scored two against them.
I'm not sure about that. But anyway, I think it shows in the day he did score two goals. The other players didn't, so he stepped up to the mark. Imagine in January if he want to leave and West Ham wasn't asking for him, that there'll be a queue of clubs, you know, the Villas, Leeds, you know, yeah. Oh, I don't know about Leeds, Man United, then the put sign Daniel James. No, those clubs would be looking to take him, whether it be on a loan or, you know, Man United would probably want to get something for him if he's not signing a new contract, because he's only got a year left, hasn't he?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That's it this season.
Len, what did you think of the end of the transfer window?
Satisfactory, really. Yeah.
Out of 10, I gave it 9 when I was on West Ham Network.
I think I'd give it an 8.
You would.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
What would you give it, Nigel?
I'll give it probably a 7.5.
Okay, all right. What was the best signing for you, Len?
Zuma, I think.
I hope so. I hope his knee don't give up, like we've heard the report. I'm just saying.
Oh, you're cheery, ain't you?
Yeah, but I just hope. I mean, he's managed it for 5 years, but I'm quite excited. I said this on when we went on the transfer show last Tuesday. I'm quite excited about the whole thing, and you know, I know the moaners will say, "Oh, you didn't sign Lingard. Well, he didn't want to come. Oh, you didn't sign a striker." David Moyes didn't want a striker. He wanted Tammy Abraham. He's happy to keep, maybe Vlasic. Goals are coming from Vlasic. And Benrahma. And Bowen. And Yarmolenko. You know, and we've got to remember, Yarmolenko stayed. Lanzini stayed. Diop stayed. Bowen stayed. And, of course, Declan Rice stayed. And all those were rumoured to be going off elsewhere. So and Thomas Suchek as well, and Vladimir Sufal also stayed. So we didn't the only player we let go, which I'll talk about, right on the 11th hour, was Zanti Silva, 24-year-old, who we bought for €1.5 million, just over 1.2 million. He had another €2.5 million of add-ons, which were never really paid out, so we didn't ever. I know a lot of people say we paid $3 million. We never really got to the full $3 million. We sold him for $200,000 to Nottingham Forest on transfer deadline day. David Moyes didn't think he would make the Premier League grade. He was affected since he had that bowel surgery. His career never really recovered because it set him back too much, and he would have left for free next season. So we $200,000 and a 25% sell-on clause. So, you know, apart from him, and we sold obviously Philippe Anderson for $2.7 million. Babuana obviously released. We didn't lose anyone at all, did we?
I mean, was that because nobody wanted some of the players who wanted to move?
Well,
on.
It's a very good
but
point.
But when you sit there and claim, oh, well, we've kept Yarmolenko and we've kept Lanzini, like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a bonus.
No, all right, so no bids came in, all right. There's a fair
yeah,
point.
Get this right,
point.
Yeah. The club were quite glad we moved them on. But the mad thing about it, in that, on paper, a lot of people were claiming we had a light squad, yet now you're thinking...
We've got
well,
a full squad
actually,
of 25, by the way. We've got a full squad
we've got,
of 25.
It's not just a full squad of 25, You know, we've got these new players to come in. We've got great, we've got a fantastic team already. We've got the new players still to come in. Those players, you know, the likes of Lanzini and Yarmolenko, you know, do have the ability to turn it on at times and have done for West Ham.
Yeah.
At times. So there's always that possibility, you know. It'll be the big thing for me is let's see what he does in the League Cup. Because we could put out a backup team. If Man United put their backup team, I'd like to see, I think it'll be a good game of football. I think we'd win it.
I'm in Moisby Trust, and I think, you know, we should have done this all along. You know, all the people, and we get onto this in a minute, that said, oh, you know, the board are not paying because they're broke. Oh, the board are not paying because there's a takeover bid. Oh, there's a fallout between Moyes and the... You know, all speculation, all bollocks. They came through in the end, both the board and the manager. That's David Sullivan's last one. Rob Newman joins on the 22nd of September. So he's the new head of recruitment from Man City. He's been forced to wait out his time. So 22nd of December, he gets behind the desk. We've just recruited a new video, a top video analyst. And funny enough, he's the top video analyst for Croatia national team. I think it's Mark Rohan, something like that. I would have to look up his name. He's a Scot that worked for Spurs and Southampton, many other clubs, but he's currently working for the Croatian national team. So I'm sure he helped with Vlasic. One of the best in the business. We've got David Moyes' son joining. We've got, obviously, several people in the scouting team, and they're going to add to it. So, you know, I'm told by a senior source, that's it. David Sullivan has a rest now and hangs up his Spurs to do deals. He just signs the cheques from now on. And, you know, there's been rumours. One of the first deals Rob Newman may do is get that Eddie, and I forget his second name, the striker from Arsenal for free, possibly. So, you know, could
put that in there.
That's him. You know, let's see. New scouting department. Everything's rosy. Which is why I can't say we're going to protest, but we'll talk about that later. Anything more on transfers, guys, before we move into the elephant in the room in the takeover rumour?
Do we have to talk about
it? We do have to talk about it. Right.
I'm putting my foot down. I'm not talking about it.
All right, fine. You won't talk about it. I'm just going to talk about what I know.
They can't just say things that they don't do and that
all right.
Attention.
PAI, right? I'm not going
to... I could get all stamping her feet at a party.
I'm going to say is, obviously, there was a Sunday Times article. They looked at the background between, you know, this guy Brundle and Cleverly and some of the other people behind the bid. I'm not going to say the allegations. Look at the article in the Sunday Times or read the Clarence Hugh article that I wrote about some of the backers. The interesting part for me, though, was a PAI spokesman did talk to the Sunday Times. And by the way, if you think the Sunday Times can be bought, you're wrong. You know, this wasn't a puff piece from the club. This is a Sunday Times investigative piece.
So it wasn't a Daily Mirror piece.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. So they wrote it. They've done really good research. And you know, it does make you ask new questions. But in it, they said, we've put in a second bid. We've prepared and we've submitted a second bid. And we think it's innovative. So I checked with several people in the club, including the senior source. And they said, we haven't got a bloody clue what they're on about. We've not had an approach. We've not had a bid. We don't consider the first approach a bid. We rejected the approach. It wasn't a bid. We never got any proof of funds. They never had data room access for 2 months. This is untrue. And it's left me wondering. I went on Twitter, whether right or wrong, some of the people on Twitter are now saying that David Sullivan is verbally agreed a deal and the deal's going to go through. Bullshit. Misinformation. Bullshit. I know there was a KUMB.
The club?
Huh?
What, David Sullivan's agreed to tell the club?
That's right. What was going around on KUMB. So there's a thread in the KUMB forum that some guy called Psycho was putting out reasons why...
Make your mind up. Is he called Fred or Psycho? What's his name?
Psycho, I think.
All right. Who's Fred?
I don't know Fred. A Fred. You knew what I was talking about. Anyway, and said, the reasons their goals are, one, to make the ground give more revenue. Well, that ain't going to happen. It costs £29 million. It's got onerous contracts. It's not that easy. They bought in external contracts from the private sector. It's not easy to earn money. £29 deficit every year just from the stadium. You think that's going to give money? If anything, my concern is they separate it into a property company and a football club, and the football club pays...
Hold up. And this is the thing. Now you're putting out sort of things sounding like
they're facts.
I'm just saying
that's my concern.
But this is your assumption.
No, this is my opinion that I'm concerned that could happen.
Well, don't mix your opinion up when you're trying to criticise people with facts.
Second one is that David Moyes to have complete control over footballing matters. Well, I think the last window has proved he's got complete control over football matters. So I don't really get that. And the third one was to keep Declan Rice. Well, I'm not sure how you keep Declan Rice. It's quite well known he wants £200,000, or his representatives want £200,000 a week for him. The only clubs that are prepared to pay that are Chelsea, Man City, Man United, and Liverpool, right? And he wants Champions League football. We might be able to pay £200,000 a week with new owners, and they might be able to break the wage ceiling, and that will cause problem with other players, including parity clauses and all that. But let's park that for the moment. You can't guarantee him Champions League football. And I think he really wants Champions League football. Most of us agree his days are numbered. We kept him for this season. I think he'd go next season. Most people believe that. So trying to suggest that new owners would keep Declan Rice, they would get more money from the ground, and David Moyes would not be interfered with footballing, is baloney in my view. And I got fed up with it, and that's why I wrote on Twitter, I guarantee this won't happen, because I know they've sold categorically, no bids have been received, even if they receive a bid from PIA.
No, hold up. And this is the thing. Whether they sell or not or whatever, but you go categorically, no bids have been received.
Yeah.
So you've been told.
And I believe them.
Well...
And that's not just one person. That's not me just talking to one person. That's me talking to a number of people in the club. They've decided...
So they're all singing off the same industry.
Well, they've decided... I trust some of them. And you know, I just don't think... that. What benefit have they, right? If they did want to tell me something, they didn't have to tell me. Why lie? Why lie and get caught out? Why not just say, can't talk about that, it's confidential? That would be the easy thing to do. What would they gain? But this is a bit and I know most people are bored with this, but this is my question. If the second bid hasn't been made, what is their game plan? What is PAI's game plan? What are they getting? Is this like the Sunday Times said? Is this some massive publicity stunt so we know who PAI Capital are that when they do something this? Is this a publicity stunt to get more investors that actually have got some money? Or is it... Or do they not, as someone said to me this morning, I don't think they know what they're in game themselves. And just one last thing, and I'll bring both of you in. I submitted a Freedom of Information 20 days ago to the London Development Corporation, asking them to have all emails and all minutes and all documents related to the meetings between PA Capital and LLDC, E20, etc. I got an email response back today to say that they needed another month, 20 days, to think about it because of what they call Section 45 commercial interests, and they needed to consider the public interest. In other words, they're stalling. They don't want me to see what they've got. They've admitted they have got the information. They do hold the information I'm looking for, but they're not sure they want to give it to me, public interest. I tell you now, I will fight them on this. I will fight them. I will appeal their decision. I will go to the ICO if needed. And I will force them to release this information because it is in the public interest. I think it's an absolute shambles. And the only thing that I agree with Len is, why am I giving them more oxygen now? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I should stop.
Content, isn't it?
Well, Len's put it, says he doesn't want to talk about it. You get the last word. What's your view now after the Sunday Times article and their claim that they've sent out another bid?
Look, from the start, I weren't sure about them. The way they went about things was, chaotic. And, you know, I liken to going from Chippenfield to Jerry Cottle, because that's what it will be. We've not seen any plans. And the one thing is, you know, I was hoping you'd tie down Tony Cotty, because I want to know what made him change his mind.
I will tie him down.
Yeah, I want to know what changed his mind. What it is that they told him, because, and I want to know, and the reason why the fans want to know is because if they can share it with Tony Cotty, why can't they share it with fans? And if they go, oh, it's confidential, NDAs have been signed, then should they have shared it with Tony Cotty? And these are the type of things that
I hope this doesn't spoil the interview with Tony Cotty. I think lots of people asked me on Twitter last night, are you calling Tony Cotty a liar? No, I'm not calling Tony Cotty a liar. He's my hero from when I was growing up. But he's been involved in every single takeover, right? There's no denying the likes of Pownote, right? Nothing wrong with that. He didn't earn enough money from the career. I think he's easily led, if I'm honest with you. People, you know, he's not an accountant.
I think you're being a bit harsh here. I think what it is is...
shown him a PowerPoint slide and gone... You know, I
think what it is, I think his ambition is to be involved in the management of the club. I think he wants to be... it's weird because when you look at abroad in Germany, like all the big football clubs generally will have ex-players helping to run the football club, or in some of the clubs running the themselves.
Would you have Tony Cotty running the football club? He's a good presenter and, you know, he's a good footballer. Would you have Tony Cotty running this football club?
What, as like a chief executive?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be adverse to it.
Really?
To see him how it goes.
Why are
you telling me? No, he's better than Brady. You know, if you're going to turn around and tell me, right, who would I rather have, Aaron Brady or Tony
Cotty?
I'm not
saying that.
There's
I'm
no
just
fucking argument.
I'm not being disrespectful.
Don't care. And I would argue Cameron Brady ain't a business person.
Well, she's a business person. What are you talking about?
Yeah, mother care. Gone. Person, disappeared. Arcadia, gone. Disappeared. Her business alumni reads like Udo of businesses 20 years ago that are now skint after she had it on her toes.
Just to qualify my comments, I'm not
Birmingham
saying,
City
I'm
went
not saying
skint
I wouldn't
after
get
she
a Brady
left.
Because I would Brady out. I'm saying bring in a experienced football chief executive and not just a figurehead. It's the point I'm saying. Not against Tony Cotty. I would say the same about bringing in Carlton Cole or Frank McAvenny or any. It's not about...
No, but Cotty, I think Cotty has had business dealings. You know, his dad was a businessman. You know, he would have had that knowledge. It ain't like he... Carlton Cole has not been involved in football management. Frank McAvenny, you know, earned Spurs as a playboy as well as a footballer. So obviously you're not going to go with him. But if you're going to tell me, would I trust Tony Cotty as the chief executive of West Ham United
Football
Club?
Trevor
Brook
in then. Would you
Would
you bring in Trevor Brook in as the chief executive?
If Trevor wanted it, Trevor more than Cotty, because Trevor has run businesses he's had for years and years.
I think you shouldn't mix your heroes with who runs the chief executive.
I think just because of Pyre as an imaginary fucking cover business, look at the conversation you're getting into. I don't get this. I don't understand how they can grab so much of people's attention.
Well, because
push
people...
out there and you're saying, who would you like as chief executive? Trevor Booking? This, you know, this and the other. It's fucking bollocks, isn't it?
I just think you're right. In some ways, it's dividing the fan base.
Yeah,
there's
lots of it.
It is causing angst. It is not managing expectations, because my view is there's no chance of this happening. I think for the GSB Out Brigade, they're holding on to this, and Hammers, you know.
Hold up, and I'd beg to disagree with you there, Sean, because from what I'm seeing, a lot of people that are GSB Out are actually looking at it and going, I'm GSB Out.
I don't know, they don't talk
but
to me,
not
so
for
you would know that more than me, to be honest.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think I'm going to join Nick Killing and Gary Killing, where they go, I'm GSB meh. Yeah. That sort of
Well, that, you know what? That's fair enough.
That would be the GSB meh. That means I don't give a toss about GSB.
You know,
actually.
Yeah, I just want to go.
Well, actually, the B I do. The B can. Yeah, the B can bugger off. Yeah, but Golden Sullivan, if they leave the running of the football club to, you know, if they brought in a chief executive, if they brought Tony Cotty and sprayed it with Tony Cotty, love it. Tony Cotty, chief executive, running the football club. They manage the finances, keep a grip on the finances and whatever, and it runs, then it is what it is. Because at the end of the day, my beef with them's over the move, but the move's happened. So if I get rid of them, what I wanted ain't coming back. So what happens? And that's why I'm not big fans of PAI.
All right, so you're right. I've given them enough oxygen, and maybe I should stop. It is International Week, well, so
No, I think it's right. Listen, they're making themselves busy, aren't they? So I think it's right. But I think it's right for us to
Kieran
come
Maguire,
on and say...
Kieran Maguire said, called them out and said... Absolute bollocks that this has got anything. Why did they delay their so-called bid at transfer window? He said, that's not what businessmen do.
Because they probably have lined the money up.
Yeah. Well, as I say, my view, not my opinion, but my view, my information is no second bid or approach has been received as of Monday, 8 o'clock when we're recording this on the, what is it, the 5th, 6th?
The thing is, have PAI come out and said, right, on their Twitter feed, no, they haven't, because I checked.
But they said
but they
it
put
on
it on
Sunday.
Their website.
They put it on Sunday.
Hold up, and this is, but this is the thing, it's come out in a Sunday Times article, but it's not on their website, it's not on their Twitter feed.
So why did they say, you're saying the Sunday Times?
Well, no, but this is what I'm saying is, well, no, but it highlights the car crash.
All right.
If PAI are looking at this, it highlights a car crash, because it's like the fifth different medium where news has been leaked about PAI that's not come from PAI.
Well, here we go. They've got their own Twitter account. They've got their own Facebook, so they can actually go, "We that is not our... Sunday Times misquoted us. That is not correct. They saw my article, I'm sure. They could say, we did do a bid, and here's a proof. Sean is wrong. Nothing. They seem to want to hide behind an NDA when it suits them. And my only concern about interviewing Tony Cotty is he doesn't know the full picture. If the questions I want to ask him is, did you actually, were you proved to see the proof of funds in a legal sense? How do you know they did a bid? These are questions that Tony Cotty won't know. They would have sold him a vision. They would have sold him a dream. They would have talked to him in general terms without going into details of money with funding, proof of funds, proof of a bid. None of these things Tony would have seen. So I'm happy to interview him with you, Nigel, but I know what the answers are going to be.
Oh, yeah, but the thing is that he's done the rounds with these interviews, and nobody's really tied him down.
No, they haven't.
And you know, I don't want to pick on Tony. I don't want to pick on Tony Cotty. But at the end of the day, though, the bloke has stuck his head above the parapet.
And
the fact is, he did stand in front of me and a load of other people and say one thing, and then 7 days later did another. Well, I think those in that room are therefore entitled to think, what no one said is, what's changed your mind? Because he's not said what PAI to get. We've
Tell
all got our own idea what changed his
why
mind.
Why you've changed your mind?
Well, that's what I want to know. And also another thing I would ask. It's up to thing. You know, he stood in front of me in 2014, and defended the owners.
He did,
and back move. And you know how I felt after it, because a part of my love for Tony Cotty died that night.
Mark Noble when he
assaulted that thing. Yeah, you know, that was like that moment. And I remember Dan walking past him as he walked out, and I couldn't even bring myself to say hello to him. I just walked past him. He was standing on his own, and normally I like going or whatever. I just didn't want to talk to him because I thought it turned up. And he bought the spin off of the club, and he was acting as a front man. You know, you was there that night as
I
well.
Was, yeah.
You probably lapped it up, but and therefore you think, well, You wanted me to trust you then, and I didn't. Why should I trust you now?
Yeah. I'm going to quote two things, apparently, Tony Cotty said. This is Andy Austin, one of my great supporters on Twitter. To be fair,
loves you.
Tony Cotty said to a live audience last week that they had been granted access to the data. Sean is saying he's lying. That's the point. Well, I'm not saying he's lying. I'm just saying he's taking for granted what he's told. And then Mark Harrison, another one of my fans on Twitter, said, just for the avoidance of doubt...
So the club have not come out and denied that, though.
Tony Cotty, for the avoidance of doubt, said, I think we will sell eventually. Over the next few weeks, there could be a few developments. He's suggesting that David Sullivan will sell. I'm saying to you... Right, which is what I've been told. Let's use the word data room as an exact word. There's definitions of proof of funds. There's definitions of a bid. There's definitions of a data room. A data room would be that they have unfettered access to a room at the London Stadium or somewhere else where they would be able to look over all the accounts. Right? Now... I have been told they did not get, they claimed, and this is a claim they make, 2 months access to a data room. Whether there's plenty of accounts available online, right? They can have a look at all the accounts at Companies House, as anyone can. There are accounts available to shareholders. So if they approach someone like Tripp Smith has the ability to look at accounts as other shareholders. That is their right. Right, but they used the claim they got 2 months access to data room. I'm saying, not to my information, they didn't. It's not something you can hide, right? If you're dedicating a room 2 months, Nigel, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Especially no. Along with, they say, only an approach, we rejected it, no bid, no proof of funds. To be clear, a bid... means it's got to be backed up by a proof of funds. A proof of funds is a legal document, right, that shows that not just they've got funds, but they've got no charge on those funds. Those funds don't belong to anyone else or could be used for anything else. It's a very clear thing. And so we've ring-fenced these funds for purchasing West Ham. Not that we own shares in something else, because that's not their money, right? Or we've got investments that we do. I've challenged Philip Beard... to publish them, either redacted or unredacted. I've challenged Philip Beard privately to show the bid document. I've challenged Philip Beard to show that they got permission via email or somewhere else to have access to the data room. I say none of those things are true. In the same way I say they had not made a second bid or a second approach. I rest my case.
Now, the pair of you fucking finished talking about pie.
Yeah. We have. Thank you.
Oh, that's another 10 minutes of your life fucking wasted.
Let's talk about Hammers United then. Hammers United have made an announcement, which hasn't gone down too well. You know, I try and stay balanced on this. I'm not a member of Hammers United, the same way I'm not a member of Wissa. But they were going to have a protest at the Manchester United game. They've now moved it to the Brentford game, I think on Sunday the 2nd of October. I don't know the reason behind that. They talked to their AGM of 100 people, who overwhelmingly, apparently lots of variety of reasons were given at their AGM, or answers, but they're saying they're backing, their number one priority is still Nuno ownership, and they think a protest is the way forward, and they ask their members to... give them what form that process should take. The backlash on social media, and particularly Twitter, was quite astounding. You know, when I've run it on Clarence Hugh, I've not commented or gone one way or the other. But plenty of people on Twitter just think, with a second in the league, with the transfer we've just had, is this the right time to protest? Hammers United have replied and said, yes, it is. It's the best time to protest when we're at that, because it makes it about the owners and not about success on the pitch. Len, what's your view on Hammers United?
Well, I didn't know they got a bit of a backlash, but I did see them say that it's the best time to protest. because they want a fair number of who's willing to stand up in the good times. And I think it's quite a good idea, because one way or the other, they're going to get an answer.
Well, I think they're up against it. I mean, I've seen some people saying COVID would stop me coming out, and other people are saying other things. Well, I think they could, this could fall flat on their face, if I'm honest with you.
It depends. I mean, you've got to quantify what falling flat on your face represents to you, Sean, to be honest.
Several hundred people turning up. Under 500 people would probably be flat on their face, considering they've got 17,000 members or whatever they...
I mean, I'm toying with the idea of attending.
Oh, are you, Nigel?
Because at the end of the day, I would prefer the others to leave. Yeah. And actually, I think Andy says it well when he says, if this is about results, don't come and march. Obviously, for me, it ain't about results. It's about one thing, the move. And you think, actually, I can't sit here and keep going, oh, I want GSB out, GSB out, mm-hmm. GSB out. And I don't see the march as pie in. If it was a march in support of PAI, sorry, but, I wouldn't be there. But it's not, and this is the way I think you can be GSB out and say to them, look, you need to seriously think about selling the club. Not necessarily the PAI, but if you actively put the club up for sale, other more bidders may show their face. You know,
Sean, aren't you interested in seeing any people who are going to think that way?
I'll be there, skulking around the outside, hiding behind the old bill with their little candles going, yeah, you'll be there, don't worry,
I will be there reporting
with his little notebook and pen, his little journalist hi-fi on.
But what my question is, does this turn into, and I'm trying to be neutral, does this just turn into a Wenger out campaign? Does this turn into the kind of protest to get Mike Ashley out, which have done nothing, by the way, and achieved nothing at Newcastle?
No, because
does it just become a background hum that, are they going to listen?
No, because what it ain't about, the thing is, and this is the thing, yeah.
But you've got to have an aim, Evan. First process, hold up. Actually is achievable.
There's two giant fucking spiders hiding in my bookcase. Oh. Jesus H. Christ. Anyway, they're dancing around each other. God knows what's happening. The woman's about to eat the geezer by the looks of it. Back into the real world, though. The thing about it is, as well, is if they march, results are bad. People will go, oh, it's always a bit of a... So I fully understand what they're organising this march now to say, look, they say about a march. It's a long-term thing. We still believe... And it is true. When you look at all the things that they've done... You can't ignore the first 9 years of their ownership, yeah? You can't ignore the things that they've done, even to this day with the season ticket debacle and whatever. While I don't lay that squarely at Dave's door,
be careful
what
you
wish. What I will say is, at the end of the day, they appointed the people they have to run the club. So actually, it's beholden on them to know what those people are doing in their name and bloody sort out or drag those people in and say, what the fucking hell are you lot playing at? Yeah? And so I do think, therefore, it's a legitimate thing to have a march to say, look, and the thing is, a lot of people are saying they acknowledge the team's doing well. It's not about getting on the team's back. It's not about that. It's about saying to the owners, yes, the club's going in the right direction, but believe it or not, we still don't like you.
Right.
For that reason, I can see myself being...
All right. Well done. Power to the people. Len, will you be joining the march?
I don't know yet, mate.
All right. Fair enough. I'll be there. Behind the Silver Commander. Look, good luck. Look, we live in a democracy, and that's a great thing, right? Everyone has a right to demonstrate. Personally, I won't be joining.
Tactic.
I don't think it's the right thing. But who am I?
Well, and this is the thing.
People vote on their feet.
Yeah, but I've seen people going, oh, why are you going to upset the club, blah, 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 blah. And having a march, like 3 hours or 2 hours before, or 3 hours probably before kickoff, how does that upset the club?
Well, I agree with you on that. I believe it's a big gamble for them, and this could be met by absolute apathy. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe
Who's meeting with apathy, though? Who meets a protest?
No, met I'm just who? Saying, right? So here's the question, right? Everyone has busy lives. Everyone has busy weekends. Right, guys, we need you to turn up. You know, 2 hours, 3 hours before kickoff. I know that you're going to have to get out of bed earlier and miss some of your drinking, etc. I think a lot of people going, fuck that, you know. I don't well, like yeah, GSB, but get, I like my bed and my drinking a bit more. That's what
but,
I mean
know,
by apathy.
Good, you know, but there'll be the wheat will separate from the chaff. Won't
yeah,
it? The ones
absolutely.
That turn
and that's and maybe and we should leave it there to say yeah, the wheat will suffer.
And
let's
then
see.
They'll, and then they'll and then there's still a ship in the right direction.
Yeah, we've done enough analysis.
The crew
that
wants to go the same way.
Is there anything else we want to discuss before we go to question time?
Absolutely not.
Okay, it's time for this. It's Facebook, Twitter, question time. Well, Nigel asks a question. Well, I hope he's asked a question. And we're trying to answer it as quickly as possible without dragging on, which we sometimes do.
Right, so 1 hour ago, you'll be happy, Sean, I said international week, so you know what that means. Yep, there's no boochies. But the rest of the gang are here. Question time is officially open for this week. First up, it's Stelios Kiriakou. Greetings from Benal Medina in Spain. He says he wants you to attempt to pronounce that, Sean, but I struggle with it still.
Where is
I'm
it?
Not being funny. Benal Medina.
Benal Medina, I can say that.
Well, Bush Kangs, I've just told you how to say it, but yeah, you ain't reading it, aren't you? Anyway, many people are beginning to question if there is anything to actually protest about. Does the good season make up for 11 years? So it's a bit of a different question. Does the good season we've had make up for the 11 years of wrongs under its ownership?
Well, some people have long memories, so probably no.
But you don't see 11 years of wrongs anyway.
No, well, I believe that you learn from your mistakes. And sometimes, if you look at sales, and, you know, obviously something that marketing and sales that Len knows about, you're only as good as your last 3 months' results, as they say in the business. Right? Reputation doesn't mean anything. You're only, you know, a salesman's only as good as their last 3 months' results.
Right, Len, does one repair damage?
well,
basically what it said was...
Yeah, I don't think so, really. But then again, we should just stop criticising shit as well, so...
Yeah. Right, next up, it's Steve Lines, who from now on we shall know as Cheeky. Steve Cheeky Lines.
Right, Cheeky.
I missed the Doggy Man's return
Cheeky
last
Lines.
Week. So, so welcome back, Sean. Great to have Stelios Kiriakou back on the pod too, when he replaces the Doggy Man.
Why am I the Doggy Man?
I was chatting... Well, obviously, Sean, we don't want to bring up what we spoke about on the previous podcast. I was chatting all your private life, to be honest.
And
I was chatting to a mate. Well, I wasn't, but Steve Cheeky Lines was. I was chatting to a mate at work, a fan, and we got talking about how they never really got the last game to say a proper goodbye to Griffin Park. How would you feel if COVID had stopped us getting that magic night at the bowling? Cheers, as always, for the amazing effort you guys put in every week. We appreciate it. Brady out!
Brady out.
That's
a good question. It would have been a bit sad. But you have your memories. And my best memory is not of that last night. It's of other nights that were more special. So I'd still have that. I thought the last night was a bit of a damp squib. I thought the club sort of copped it up and it was a bit forced with the Cockney rejects and stuff. And the fireworks and the sound system that didn't really work. Beating Man United was prize enough, to be honest.
But weren't that so West Ham?
Yeah, it was so West Ham. But you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
I don't actually put down my final goodbyes to that night. I sort of...
No, I think I would have been gutted if...
The lily,
if yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, naturally, they turned to the famous people that, you know...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
B. Westwood and Ben Shepherd and all that, they were always going to do that because they were always dazzled by people like that.
But I said my goodbyes throughout the season, really. You know, I went
that
hotel and overnight and stuff like that. You know, some just small things and...
Well, as a member of the Farewell to Bowling Committee, I suppose I've got to turn around and say,
actually, yeah, you were.
I don't think it was that bad. But I would like to point out, we didn't really discuss things like that.
No.
which sort of quite surprised me that we had three or four meetings of the Farewell Bowling Committee.
I was on another committee, but I can't remember what it was.
Well, kidding, you was on bowling. There you go.
Oh, yeah, London Stadium, that's it.
London Stadium, yes, that's it. I mean, my claim to fame is the fact that it was my idea for T-shirts.
Yeah, it was.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, there you go. So, there you go. That and the ballot, I've done well, haven't I? I've done better than some, to be fair.
The ballot, that idea of your ballot has actually
That's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's still going. There you go. One man whisper. Dear, oh, dear. Anyway, it's the Colonel up next, Paul Sanders. Evening, yous all, he says. I'd like to know what you think about the planned protest before Brentford. I thought it was before the Man United game. Am I going to be the only one marching before Brentford?
Yeah, but didn't you hear what just said? You obviously didn't listen. They've moved it from Man United to Brentford. Did you switch off then?
I went to shut my door because I switched my light and I didn't want the muzzies coming in and biting me like that.
Oh, have you finished the kitchen?
We'll come to that. Anyway, good or bad, well timed or not, what's the point? Brady out!
Brady out.
Next up, it's old Dylan himself, the Welsh wizard of Merion Williams. Firstly, he wants an apology from the Bald Sturge after his personal attack last week. Miriam's never thrown a bottle in my life. For him to suggest I conduct a criminal act is simply
shameful. Who suggested that?
You did. You did suggested I? He threw a bottle. Yes, you did.
Did I?
No. Yeah, we can go back and listen.
I apologise. Anyway,
you ready? On the subject of contacts, bit racist, but anyone, I'll let it go. Despite contacting the club regarding risk to health and safety in attending London Stadium, this has seemingly been ignored. Ben's not answering his emails. I'm
let me talk
shot.
To Ben. Sorry, to be yeah. fair, Marion, you did send me a private message with what you sent the club. Let me give Ben a call and
Give him a nudge. Yeah.
I'll give him a little nudge. Little love tap. Is that the right word? Give him love tap.
Well, in your world, possibly. Yes, yes. Is that what you do? Call it when you get in the hot tub, is it? What are your thoughts on the club's failure to honour yet again the original promised supporters at being 0.7 to make coming to games an enjoyable experience and 0.10 to listen to the supporters? The only thing I would point out, if Geordie Ben is listening, which I very much doubt, way I Geordie, is that if you do answer once Sean gives you a tap, shame on you, because you shouldn't have took that. You should have answered the bloke's email if he felt concerned. Send it to you. Unless, of course, you're not the stadium manager anywhere, Ben.
He's actually the COO, the chief operating officer.
All right. Is he not in charge of the bar anymore?
No, he's the chief operating officer. No. He's in charge of the stadium.
Yeah, okay. Well, then it's for him to bloody answer the email. He's all right handing out three-year bans in notes, isn't he?
And doing shit like that. I'm sure it won't be because I spoke to him. It will just be it got lost, and I'm just going to refocus Ben's mind onto the email he received. Ticketing issues.
Yes,
Alice has sent to us.
So he follows it up with no new.
Another carry on. Nigel enjoyed being a bit judgy from time to time, and then I thought about it. More of it was all the fucking time, really.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, no news on fans going on a European tour. I think you jumped the gun there. Well. A supporters group called Fans Support in Europe have announced that FIFA are going to change their mind and allow fans in.
Yeah.
Subject to local country rules still being adhered to, therefore Belgium not allowing British fans in.
Well, you say that.
Or is that a change now?
Well, there are ways that you, as a fan, could go to Belgium. You've just got, as long as you're double vaccinated and you follow the rules.
Right. What are the rules?
So the rules are you've got to have a certain number of tests. It would be expensive. You've got to have a test before you go. You've got to get a test when you arrive. You're supposed to have another test on 7 days, but if you return before then you don't, you have a test when you get back again. So it won't be cheap, you know, and you have to be double vaccinated, but there would be ways to get to Belgium legally.
The one I want is must admit, is Zagreb's turned up too early for me. I've got too much work on. Belgium, I don't know. You think Belgium's newer than Scotland, to be honest. So it's drivable.
Eurostar straight there. I mean, someone said to me on one of the group, you know, it's the same to drive to Belgium is the same to drive to Liverpool.
Yes, yeah. I have actually drove to Belgium, not to Genk, because that's the other side, but I've drove into a club border from, got the ferry to Calais and then over the border. They've got lovely beaches in Belgium along the coast there, before you get to Ostend. There's a lovely place called Dupan, Dupan. You'd love it. They do all the mussels and all that in the pot and the old
waffles and chocolate. Anyway, when we drift on questions, yeah.
Chips and mayonnaise, mate. Oh, lovely. Yeah, I really
we're
got
drifting.
Into it.
We're drifting.
Anyway, so Mary, to answer your question, looks like fans are going. Nicholas Harvey, AOP, he says, he's Yorkshire.
AI,
sure. AI, Nick Harvey, as we like to call him. Braid out, he says.
Yeah.
Braid out.
Evening, gentlemen. Hopefully without the booties, we might have a 2-hour podcast. Not sure with, but we'll put that theory to the test. We weren't going to mention that, was we? Anyway, we'll move on. What the hell happened in the transfer window? The man who signed Jordan Ugill has now signed Bowen, Suchet, Kufal, Benrahma, Dawson, Areola, Zuma, Vlasic and Kral. That's, you know, some good signings there, isn't it, in the last year and a half.
Net transfer, and I sent this to you, and I did an article.
Yes, you did.
£87 million. And that's no add-ons on that. You'd agree with that figure, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I did.
You said 85, didn't you, Shawnee?
Well, we're talking about 85, and you're right, with add-ons, it did go over 85, so
yeah,
I was proved right.
You were, Shawnee. You're ever such a good boy.
Well done, yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oh, no, well done.
Even though you all told me off for saying it and upsetting the fans and everything.
I went over 85, right, because you massaged the figures with add-ons, wages, agents.
No wages.
Who supplied the sandwiches at the hotel when they were having the meetings and all fees, shit like that.
Loan fees.
Yeah.
Transfer fees and add-ons. No, in that price is no agent fees, no wages. So don't, you know, it only gets to 135 million if we include wages and agent fees.
All right. Next up, we've got Nick then follows it up with his big question.
Come
on. With Rob Newman due to start soon as head recruitment, as Sean feeling now the biggest ingredient in seek sauce, will no longer be involved in transfer dealings. Right, yeah.
Do you think I'm not going to get information? What do you think?
Oh, dear, I ain't going to say it. Don't tell people where sausages are made, Sean.
Well, do you know what? It doesn't always... Here's the funny thing. It doesn't always come from one source. You know, agents talk. Journalists talk. Other club people talk. Even David Moyes talks. You know, it's almost impossible to keep things secret. Let's see. Let's see. Judge me after January.
All right.
We'll see. Right. Next up, Sam Ferrari back again. She's just with two hashtags. Hashtag not quite finished. Hashtag kitchen gate.
Do you know what? We've been talking, me and your wife.
It's coming along. Yeah, I know you now. Whatever.
She asked me what my
daughter's wedding was like.
She asked me what my DIY skills were like, and I said they're not very good, but I am a finisher completer, which I always finish what I start out to do. It might not be the best detail. But
actually, my daughter's given me a thank you card for you and John, which I don't know if it's right. I may share it publicly or not, because the way she's wrote it out sounds like you and John.
A couple.
Well, we did write in our card to your daughter, we wrote, not a couple.
All right. Well, she's not put, dear Sean and John, not a couple. She's put, dear Sean and John. Oh,
you take
chuckle,
your time, is what she put. Take your time. Don't let him rush you into anything.
Anyway, poor old Sam next in the kitchen. We want to know about Kitchen Gate. I might call this thing Kitchen Gate, actually.
Oh, right. Well, I think we should call it putting the theory to the test, but I don't want to upset you. Next up, it's Dodsey.
To the test. I don't get that.
No, you don't, do you? It's Dodsey's got top fan listed. I don't know what Facebook's doing. Yeah, top fan.
Dodsey's top fan.
Every week, isn't he? He's there like a fan, isn't he?
Facebook while sunbathing, maybe.
Oh, dear. He's been getting busy. Golf. Oh, a golf day coming up, people, in October, if anyone's interested. Finalised this week. All right, my anthems. Al Hughes for charity. My point. Al Hughes doing. Did Nigel get on the Titanic today? No, I got on a Thames Clipper. Thank you very much. Don't go to the Slug and Lettuce at Waterloo because their fucking service is shit. But anyway, I digress.
Slug and Lettuce at Waterloo? Outside Waterloo, it must be.
Well, it's by the London Eye.
I don't consider that Wooloo. Yeah. That's South Bank, mate.
Well, alright, sorry.
To our South Bank.
You know, anyway, it ain't as good as it used to be when I used to drink in there. Let's put it like that. I got the cable car over, got the Thames Clipper up the river. We ended up at the London Eye. I thought we'd have something to eat and jump back on the boat back. And it was shockingly bad. But anyway.
Was this romance with your...
Today.
You and your missus?
It was me and my missus, my father-in-law and the boy. Little bit of research for me.
Could have finished the kitchen in film. That time.
Well, the kitchen is snagging. I'm on snagging. Snagging. So I did, my plug socket this weekend and I did something else. I can't remember what else. I did two things Saturday, Sunday. It progresses. I'm going through my snag list. He said Carlos Tevez is up for free transfer, as I did advertise.
Yeah,
right. Would you take him for a season?
No.
37?
No.
No? You wouldn't take him?
No.
All day long.
Actually, I would. And I thought about this and I wrote about this. I would take
him. You just went no.
Well, all right. Let me tell you on what conditions I would take him. I would take him on a free transfer with zero wages, right?
Yeah.
At £150,000 a goal.
Right.
So if he would accept those terms and show it's not about money, he really loved the club and he wanted to return, no wages whatsoever. If you play, you score, you get £150,000. No limit, no upper limit, £150,000 for every goal you score. Score as many goals as you want, matey. Yeah.
What if he sets a goal up?
Sorry?
What if he assists?
Oh, let's give him 75.
What if it's half an assist?
Nah, nothing. Zero. Nothing. Nada. Would you?
Yeah, all day long.
How much would you pay him?
I'd give him 60, 70 grand a week.
37-year-old, you'd give 60, 70 grand a week?
For one season, yeah. Yeah, I would. For Carlos Tevez, all day long.
Okay. This is you two tonight, ain't ya?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Any ex-Ammer, Len, that you'd take back this season? Dodsy says Sam Byram from Norwich.
Oh, you're having a laugh.
Still playing,
Dodsy.
He meant, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's still playing.
That's still playing. Thankfully, it rules Colton Colton.
Talking of that, did you... West Brom, old Robert Snodgrass on the bench... Did you see what happened to Grady Diagana? So since selling him for $18 million, I will say David Sullivan was right. On hindsight, great bit of business. He's struggling to get a game, even in the Championship. If you look, I think he's stuck at five games. He's come on as a substitute. He missed one game. He's come on as a substitute for three of those games. I think he only has played all 90 minutes once. He gets substituted off after like 55 minutes. And he got substituted off last week. He hasn't scored a goal, by the way. He scored one goal all last season in the Premier League, 21 appearances. This season, nothing as he steps down to the Championship. Who was he replaced? Start for 10, Nigel. Who was he replaced for on the 57th minute last weekend?
Sorry, I sung right out there. Who was you talking about?
A Grady Diagana, who's not really done very well after being sold. Got
Snodgrass probably coming over him.
No, try again.
All right. Kevin Keane.
No.
Oh.
Kevin Keane plays for the
Baggies. You don't know West Brom players. You don't know the players, Sean. West Ham.
No. It was Georgian Hugill. He replaced Georgian Hugill.
He's from West Brom now.
Georgian Hugill came on. Do you know what? Here you go. We sold Georgian Hugill for £3 million to Norwich City. That they think he's so much of a Premier League player, they loaned him for the whole season to the Baggies. Didn't bring him up to the Premier back to the Premier League with them. And
you made your point, Sean.
He replaced Diagana. So David Sullivan's proved right. The same with Ngakia. I got told Ngakia also, he's not ripping up trees in Watford, struggling to get games. We settled out of court in January last year, only for, a few hundred grand or whatever. It's six figure, all I know, but it's confidential. You know, where are they now? Sorry, I digress. Move on.
Fucking no. So what it means, Richard, is basically no one that we regret selling is out there.
Yeah.
But he had a long way to go about it.
Yeah, I did go.
You know what it's like. I can't wait to see his week on Twitter. I'm sure he's going to be really, really appreciated this week.
I mean, the funny thing about it is the fact that there's no really decent West Ham players out there that we've sold. Yeah. That we could think, you know what, I would have back or whatever. It could be looked as a twofold testament. Yeah, the fact is that we've produced no one under Golden Sullivan's ownership that any clubs wanted to bloody buy and pay us big money for. So actually, that's a failure of the ownership.
Except when Declan Rice leaves.
Well, there you go. Were you disappointed that we sold Silver to Forest? No.
No.
And Len?
Yes, mate.
Brady out. Brady out.
Brady out.
All right. Ziggy Stardust, another top fan.
Hello, Dave. He's
nice picture with his dog there. Looks like your dog, Sean, to be honest. You could go dogging with Dave Jones there if you wanted. Evening all. Following on from the discussion on barcodes, he's not talking about Newcastle people, and QR codes, season tickets he's talking about. Surely the readers at the London Stadium aren't clever enough to know if the code has already been used on a different reader. Well, I bet it's a different...
Yeah, They do.
I've not tested it.
No.
But when I worked with barcodes and QR codes on public transport, with major issues with fraud and people using them over as well as screenshots. This could mean that far more people can end and have legitimate tickets, Brady.
Once
I don't
you're in
think
one,
actually,
Brady, let me tell you now.
Bit
once
of
you
a
go in one,
makers, Dave, Brady out.
I can tell you, Sean, what it's called. It's called anti-passback.
Yeah.
It's a technology in security systems that basically, when the card goes in, it cannot come in again. Yeah. It has to go out first.
And it's fundamental. And I mean, same thing works.
And it'll be reset every game. So they reset it every game.
Yeah.
So once you go in, and for that day, you won't be able to get back in again using that code.
Yeah, I know that's true because I went in once and then tried to come in again and there was let out and exit and tried to come in and it doesn't allow you.
No, it don't.
Yeah.
But if you'd have badged out, then you could have come back in. But obviously, we ain't got no out badges.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, that's how that technology works. Yep. Jason Backhouse, a new name. Welcome, Jason. I believe it's your first
Backhouse.
One.
Backhouse. I haven't heard that name before.
No, I've not.
Backhouse.
Backhouse, yeah. We called that the kitchen as a kid. Or the bathroom. Was it the back of the house, to be fair? Evening, gents. What's the news on away fans for Europa League games? You can't find an answer anywhere online. Well, UEFA haven't physically come out. Or before the podcast, which was at 7 o'clock tonight on Monday, I did check the UEFA website. They've said nothing. But there is a fans group called Fan Supporters of Europe who are very big on Twitter, who I follow, and they've been trying to pressurise UEFA on this. And it seems like they are claiming victory and saying that UEFA will announce that away fans will be banned and they will reverse their initial blocking of any travelling away fans, subject to the current rules of that country being adhered to, though. So if a country says you can't come in, you can't go in.
Jason fancies it, I reckon. Fancies a little trip.
Well, don't we all, realistically? Right, who's next up? Gary Prince says, looking at the three away Europa matches, logistically, which is the easiest and cheapest to attend? What is the point of these World Cup qualifying matches with just a stroll for England? And who is going Southampton away? Did you get lucky in the ballot, Sean?
Do you know what? I never applied for Southampton away, but I'm a little bit gutted I didn't now. Because I think I've got to go to a gin festival. But
the gym festival. You joined a gym.
Gin. Do want to go? Someone told me last night about a rum festival. I want to go to a rum festival.
What, you run as well as going to the gym?
No, I'm not going to Southampton, but I wish I was. I wasn't lucky in the ballot, and I like Croatia.
You do.
I've been there quite a bit. It's really cheap to stay, to fly, to eat. It's a green country as it stands at the moment, so you don't have to do as much testing. It's a quick flight, so I would say when, you know, Belgium's quite expensive, Austria's not is quite expensive as well, so Croatia, all day long.
You like a treble gin? Do you like a large one? Treble?
Who, me?
Gin? Yeah.
I'm not a drink.
Because I've heard that apparently, Sean, when you was in the queue, and God was giving out chins, you thought he said gin and said, can I have a double? Gin.
Let me tell you a story, a funny story. Well, it's not that funny. As a youngster, I went to Hampton Court Maze with a young American girl, and we deliberately got lost in the maze, and we drunk a whole bottle of Gordon's Gin Neat, and I was very ill. And
something's then, run in the family then. But anyway,
since then, I don't even like the smell of gin. I'm not a gin person at all. Do you know, you must have a drink that the smell of it, you go, no? Bad experience when you're young, no?
I get over a lot of things when it comes to booze.
Apparently, did you see this? Just going back to Declan Rice has never had a beer. You see that in his interview?
Yeah,
Nor did Ray either. Ray didn't drink.
He's not a drinker. It's not just beer. He doesn't drink. He's apparently a drinker.
As did Ray and Dev.
All right.
You know.
He's not really? The first both of them are not drinkers at all.
I've ever seen play for the club. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Again, we've digressed. Gym festivals, yeah. Beers.
Paul Turner says, Nigel, I'm going. He's been ringing me. I've been really busy today, Paul. Been on family day, and I got back just in time to do the podcast. Says, Nigel, I'm going to Southampton if you want to jump in the car.
Oh, nice.
I will be in
is
touch.
That DJ
there is two
Paul
of
Turner.
Us, though, Paul.
Or the other Paul
that
Turner.
Is DJ Paul Turner. No, yeah. DJ Paul. Not Whistle Paul Turner. No.
All right. Okay. Should we tell? No, we can't tell. Our sausages and meat, can we?
No. Next up, Adam Levitt. Lenny says, hello, son. Do keep doing what you do with the season ticket cards. Wicked job, lads. And Sean, would you still move to the London Stadium knowing what you know now about the ground?
Yeah. Definitely, 100%.
Of course you would. Yeah. Silly question, lad. You knew what the answer is.
Would you?
What? Move? Yeah. Well, of course I bloody wouldn't. No.
Len?
Of course I wouldn't. You fucking lunatic.
So hang on a minute. You're left with no investment and...
Fuck off.
I bet there's a proviso.
What are you talking about? No investment. Well, everything that we've done so far could have been
done.
We could
have done Upton Park.
Oh, yeah. Nothing. So, hang on a minute. There's a proviso. It's one of these magic things. As long as we developed into a 50,000 stadium within the current football.
No. We could have either stayed at the 35,000 or upped it to the 40,000. Yeah. But everything we have achieved in the London Stadium, let's get it. Not a lot, Sean.
All right.
Yeah.
Hang on.
So yeah, everything we achieved, we could have done, every season we've had here, could have been done the same at the bowling ground.
So we stay at the London
Nothing
Stadium
different.
Without any change, sorry, we stay at the bowling ground without any changes to the stands, or the catering, or the transport.
Yep.
We stay at 35,000 compared to the 66,000 we plan to go up to.
We're planning, but we ain't got there.
You would still...
Better transport links. Yeah, you're right. That 20-minute walk is a lot better for a lot of people, Sean.
But you know what? I don't do a 20-minute walk because I go to Pudding Mill Lane. It's not a fucking 20-minute walk.
It is with your short legs, son. You have to take more steps than the rest of us.
Come back. No queue at the Tube. And burgers a quid.
I'm still at London Stadium, boys.
Take me back.
And I think other people would be.
We'll cover that another day because I'll tell you what, I bet you if you gave people an option, knowing what
we'll do a poll, shall we? The next
well, why
break.
Not? Yeah, why not? It's only in October, so but that's the end. Oh, hold up, oh, dear, that's the end of Facebook. We've done Twitter, The Twitterati are speaking. I don't know what they're saying.
I could do with a quid burger right about now.
Right about now.
A bit
now.
Cold, onions in it, with cheese, two slices.
I've got a public service message. If you're on a 3-year ban, and part of that 3-year football ban coincided with COVID, so no stadiums in the ground, no travelling, that don't affect your ban. They're not going to extend it. So your ban's finished. That's part of your ban. There's no extending it. So if your ban finished at the end of lockdown, you're free to travel to Europe. Get your passport back for the police station and off we go.
Funny you should say that, because Andy Sheldon, a West Ham police officer, just tweeted on this very subject, similar subject, if you're subject to football banning order, you will be receiving a passport surrender letter in the next few days.
Yes.
Passports must be handed in on the 13th of September, ahead of West Ham visit to Zagreb on the 16th of September. Did you know that?
That's correct.
Oh, no, well, you answered it.
Yes.
You said, question for a friend. Does the banning order get extended due to COVID? Nope, as Amanda says. No extension.
Yeah. So it was a question for a, I don't know about a friend, family member, but anyway, believe me, I can tell you'll need to know about football banning orders. I can also tell you that if you're based in East London, they stopped doing it at your local police station and made it, no matter where you either had to go to Lehman Street in the city or Romford to surrender your passport. It's not really, you know.
Your balance system your balance system has come under scrutiny.
Oh, was it? Why?
Well, Mark messaged the club saying, one question, why is there a 10% ballot for Leeds? By your own sliding scale, as devised by Nigel Kahn and a SAB OSB ticketing subgroup, it should be 7%.
I don't think he said that. And it should be what, 7%?
Well, it does say sliding scale. That basically, if there's 3,000 tickets, it should be 10%. If the 2,500 at 2,099, it's 7%. If it's under 2,499, it's 5%. And if there's under 2,000, there should be no ballot.
What was it? 2,900, wasn't it? Leeds
so
games.
So if that's the case, then it should be 7%. Mark is right. They're the rules you set, Nigel.
Well, can I just point out, I didn't actually say if it's 2,999 tickets, only give 7%.
You did suggest a sliding ballot, though, didn't you?
I did suggest a sliding ballot. Yes, I did.
Or as we call it, Nigel's Law now.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's called that.
Anyway, Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. Actually, no.
Nothing on Twitter.
Ask the question. Hold up. I'm off at my dog goal.
That burger in the time.
You might have some time because we're only at 1:20. You might have some time to finish the kitchen.
He does need to cut his time up into smaller divisions.
Yeah. You know, I'm a busy, busy man. Oh, did Sean? Here we go. I knew it was here. If Twitter were giving out fan logos, and you'd be top fan, and 31, 60, 40, 43, 40, 2H.
He's quite a proper name. Avatar. Yeah. Come on, man, for fuck's sake.
Let's see what you look
got
like.
No idea.
We'll talk about shinies next. We need to advertise your website. Because I want to tick that off on Woody Bingo. Did Sean ever get to the bottom of that website with all the third kits shirts last season?
That's dodgy.
Or have you been too busy taking his new pet to dog orgies?
No, it was dodgy. They did get a sample, and it was poor quality Chinese one. Eminem obviously wasn't. And not to get the two mixed up. But there was an inquiry. For legal reasons, I'm not allowed to discuss
so
it any further.
Eminem are an official reseller, then.
They are. But how they got as much stock is a matter of contractual dispute between Umbro and West Ham.
No, right, there you go. Did the moon get lost in the stadium move?
Miss a question, by the way, because I read it earlier, and I don't know why you didn't read it to me about. It was a question to me about Declan Rice and whether he was offered a.
Let me go back. Yes, no. Let me go back. I don't know. We were talking. Yes, it's the award winning. I'm gonna give him a bigger build up. It's the award winning soul singing superstar
Tenerife. Yeah, I know you missed him,
Michael Levy Jr. I can't believe Mike. I apologise. I see it earlier. Totally forgot to read it out. But he is he's won the award as the top soul singing superstar of Tenerife.
You told us this before, yeah?
Have I? What, that he won an award? He's actually won an award.
Elvis impersonator.
Yeah.
Nothing we've ever done. Well, actually, tell a lie, we won a Lenny once. But apparently that was a fix. But don't go there again. I won a fix. At least 25 people voted for us.
No, that was the funny thing about it.
Look, 100% vote. 100% of our listeners voted for us. Fucking hell. Oh, dear.
Anyway, ask the question.
I've got more than that, didn't I? I all from sunny Tenerife, he says. He's getting very busy, people. You can see him at the Calypso Bar on a Saturday. Always busy. You got to book a Calypso Bar. Can you set the record straight? Was Declan Rice offered a new contract with a release clause? Michael don't think it's true, and if he does go, that money could buy a replacement like Bissouma, whoever he is, a top striker and a left back. So Bissouma's a top striker and a left back.
Let's separate this question into two elements.
Go on.
Has Declan Rice been offered a new contract? Yes. Has that contract offered to make him the richest, most expensive player ever in the history of West Ham? Yes, as I said last week. Does it have a release clause? No, it does not. Now, this is nothing new. He's been offered contracts over a year now. I know the papers like to say it's been rejected 3 times. I'm not sure it's been rejected. What the club have done was made him a number of offers and his representative haven't replied. Is that a reject or is that just an answer? But, yeah, he has been offered a third different amount, but no, it does not include a release clause.
Hmm. Oh, okay.
Right. Anyhow, that's it.
No. Hello, everybody. It says Darren Molan.
You forgot another one.
It's Dazzler. No, he's just caught it. Right, you're lucky. Okay. Dads, because if he hadn't pulled me up about the soul singing superstar Tenerife, we wouldn't have got in. But anyway, Dazzler is, and at the end of the day, this is a man that worked on the front line through the pandemic. So the man gets his questions read out.
I know, we've four clapped of them. And done our pan rap now, you know.
You clapped Dazzler, did you?
Yeah, on a Thursday night.
He's a Wolverhampton out of Tanner. I'm glad you recognise that, Dazz, that Wolverhampton is out of Tanner. He loved the reception the England players received taking the knee. We're not only clapping, but also cheering. He's got a question. With some medal keepers on our books, which one would serve up the best pie and mash?
Keepers,
I reckon Randolph. Yeah, goalkeepers. With so many goalkeepers on our books, which one would serve up the best pie and mash? I'd go to Randolph.
Yeah. Well, or Martin. No, Martin. It's got to be David Martin, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. So I forgot about old Dave.
Do you know what?
Goalkeeping legend.
Let me tell you a funny story. You know we're going to submit out of 25.
Well, you keep saying that, but not one of them been funny yet.
So you have to have 8 homegrown players. As you
goalkeepers?
Know. Huh?
Oh, right. Well, no, go on.
Yeah. We've actually got 9 because we were hoping to get rid of Randolph, but it didn't come off. No one came in for Randolph. But we have... Can you name the 9 homegrown players? A little bit of trivia here.
Where's
no
Randolph homegrown?
Well,
he's Irish.
He's not. He's homegrown.
No, I think Randolph. So. Obviously, Randolph. Then David Martin.
That's 2. Yeah.
Obviously, Declan Rice.
3.
Mark Noble.
4.
Criswell.
5.
Antonio?
Six. Fredericks.
7.
Yeah, Fredericks. One more then.
I don't know if Pablo Fornells would be classed as upgrade because he came very young.
No.
The right back.
Who?
Dawson.
Dawson is another one. Well done. That's 8. You're missing one. And by the way, Ben Johnson doesn't count because he wasn't 21 on the 1st of January. So although he's 21 now, he wasn't 21 on the 1st January this year.
He's homegrown though, right?
He is homegrown, but he doesn't count.
Yeah, but he's homegrown over 21, because then the 21 don't matter.
Yeah.
So homegrown over 21. Bowen.
Yes, there you go. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Cool, all 9. We only need 8.
Yeah. All right. Sean, we've got a question for you. Quite a good one, actually. How do you stay so calm with such criticism from fans, whether justified or not?
Because he enjoys it.
I'm quite a calm person, even in you know, adversity or it doesn't. You know, I've learned maybe the hard way to have a very thick skin. It's not personal. You know, people who say stuff on Twitter and through the anonymity are not likely to say that to your face. You know, I can honestly say I've never had a bad time at the bowling ground or the London Stadium in all the times I've gone where someone, you know, gives me a hard time over something I've said or done. John thinks that my day will come one day, but let's see.
Yeah.
Yes, there was one dodgy time though. Let's not get wrong.
But,
yeah,
yeah, but that was a particular case relating to.
Yeah, but anyway,
less said about that, the better.
Yeah, we'll move on. Selene.
Yeah,
he's gone. Space 1999 or Bagpuss. These were my early morning Sunday treats on BBC One back in the '70s. Bagpuss was like lunchtime. Yeah, I remember Space 1999.
The Airfix models taking off were hilarious on Space.
That weren't a Gerry Anderson thing, was it? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No. Who did Thunderbirds and all.
Yeah.
It was. No. It wasn't puppets.
I know it weren't puppets. It's still the same geezer,
it's a
though.
It's puppet.
I know that.
I don't think it was.
Check that while I read that question for, because it's quite a good question. How much of an impact the 100 have on women's sport, and do you think the WSL will benefit?
It was Gerry Anderson.
Thank you very much. Right. So, how much impact do either of you watch cricket for a start?
Yes.
Right.
No, not really.
So that's the start. Right, so Lynn. Right. So, Sean, do you watch cricket apart from what your son's playing in?
Yes.
Do you watch? Right. So, do you watch any of the 100?
I watched a little bit of it. I didn't watch a lot of it, but I watched a little bit of
it. Did you watch any of the women play?
Funny enough, I do watch David Cross's daughter sometimes, and I know she commentates. She was commentating.
What's her name?
Katie Cross.
Kate.
Oh, right. Well done. All right, no, I just tested it. Do you have an answer then?
What was the question?
Do you think that the how much of an impact the 100 had on women's sport, and do you think the WSL will benefit?
I don't. Do you know what? I don't know if I do have an answer on that. I mean, I think women's sport is becoming big, and I tell you what, at grassroots as well, because my son plays for Leatherhead Cricket Club. And his school. And there's a far more women now at the grassroots, at club level, you know, playing with the boys as well. You know, not just women's teams, but, you know, we often come against, you know, Surrey clubs, cricket clubs. My son's under 14s. He's 14 years old. Play against with women in their team. And I tell you what, they're really good cricketers. So I do think, like football, women's cricket is coming of age and more young women are getting into cricket. That wasn't your question, but that's my answer.
No, I mean, I'll answer his question. As such, it's whether it have a bearing on women's football. Women's cricket is coming on leaps and bounds. As a spectacle itself, I found it as entertaining as the men, to be honest, watching it. And it was good seeing the format where the same women's teams played first and then the men's teams played after. I won't lie, obviously, the men's are more entertaining because they strike the ball harder and faster and bowl the ball faster as well. But when you look at what the women did, it was just as entertaining in the way it was playing. So I think benefit. In regards to women's football, I think the new contract with the BBC is possibly the biggest thing for women's football. Football can survive not being on terrestrial TV because of its popularity, or men's football. Women's football should never have been on a pay-per-view channel because you need people, grassroots and people to be able to have easy access to it. So therefore, having a game every week on the BBC, perhaps there should be, I don't know, perhaps after match of the day, they should have had, this is where I'm going to go. Well, they do, actually. They should have had women's match of the day. I don't know. It's quite possible. I was talking with someone this week about maybe going down and watching some of the women's games at Dagenham. Perhaps, I need to reevaluate.
Do you follow Essex cricket? Are you, I
followed. It looks like I think we're going to win the Division 2. I think we were relegated last season after being the county champions. I must admit, I followed them massively when I was a kid with the likes of Graham Gooch, John Lever. Who else was there? Oh, blimey. The names escape me now. Fletcher was playing before he retired and became England manager. There was a few others. There was a Scottish geezer who played. I used to go to Wilford and watch them. Used to go to Chelmsford, Riverside, watch them. Essex. The one thing I found about the move to the stadium that got killed in the first bid, I'm disappointed in, is that Essex were going to play one day or 2020 cricket at the London Stadium. And I'm disappointed that hasn't happened.
Well, you know our cricket ground, obviously, is not in Surrey. So Surrey cricket ground is
well, you say it's not in Surrey, but what you got to remember with...
it's in Kennington, which is still part of London.
You've got to understand the makeup of London and how it was formed. London itself originally was the area which we know as the City of London. Across the River Southwark was a totally different city or area, technically, hence why it had its own cathedral. Yeah, Southwark, I believe, was Kent, but that's the boundary. And then past Southwark, you was into Surrey. So Kennington, where Oval is, was part of Surrey. Obviously, Lords is the home of Middlesex. Middlesex don't exist. It did when cricket was started. Middlesex was a county. Hence why everything from the River Lee westwards, north of the River Thames, was Middlesex. And Essex started at the River Lee. So West Ham, for all you people going, we're an Essex football club, not a London football club. We should have Essex on our badge. It's possibly got a point. Because in 1900, West Ham was the county borough of West Ham. The county borough.
Surrey?
Was Essex.
Essex, fair
so,
enough.
So, yes.
Mind you, our county hall, although they've sold it now, is actually in Kingston, which is a London borough. So, Surrey County Hall.
Well, Kingston upon Thames though is weird because you're getting it's all to do with the Metropolitan Act, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's what brought Dagenham and Barking and Dagenham's Ilford, Ilford's Essex, but it's London Borough Redbridge, Barking and Dagenham's Barking and Dagenham, but it's just Barking Essex. When I was a kid, Barking Essex, it was the start of Essex to me.
Yeah, There you go. Anyway, yep. Are we done?
That's it.
Right. I don't think there's anything else. Oh, you wanted to do a quick promo on shinies, and then we're finished.
Oh, actually, I've got a shiny. Alan Day quickly says, good start this season. If PAR successful, would Sean then become anti-bald? Would you go on the march?
Yeah. Pie out. Yeah.
There you go. And would we start a new catchphrase, Cotty out?
No.
Oh.
Poor Cotty.
And last up, because he's out in the country on his year sabbatical from Canada, it's Palumi Ogilina. We do love the Palumi. From 19th to 2nd in 3 games, Moyes is doing a masterful job. There you go. Right, hold up. Alan Day, you've just commented, Alan Day, 9 minutes ago on last week's question. I can't believe I read that out. You should have been disallowed.
Anyway, got to go. Got a date at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Shinies, go to canningtown.lem, order one. It will sort itself out. Canningtown.com.
Canningtown.com.
I've
got a dilemma for you on the shiny.
Go on.
You ready?
Go on.
Would you do a Tottenham one?
Would I do a Tottenham one?
Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
I hear you're doing one for Huey Boy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that phone call. Oh, yeah, I forgot we asked. Oh, yeah, I do remember we asked on there, yeah.
He didn't want himself on it.
Did he want you on it, Sean?
He's had a portrait, Sean, to be honest.
Huh?
I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Is it a dart ball?
Just remember they've got curry in the fridge.
Oh.
Fucking anyway, marvellous.
That's it. We're at 99 minutes. I didn't think we were about to finish at 90, and we've sort of crept another 9 minutes in.
Well, look, I could get one more minute out. Well, because I've just found my Essex County Cricket Club bat, which is autographed by the players. Unfortunately, they must have all been doctors, because I can't read
appointment. I'm sorry.
I can't read their autographs, but still.
I've been Sean. Nigel has been
testing out that theory. It's not working.
And Len has been
anticipating dinner.
Oh, quickly. Prediction for Spurs. Saints away. 1-0 West Ham.
1-0 West Ham.
And Nigel.
I'm gonna go 2-1 West Ham.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
100 minutes on the nail. See you next week.
Cheerio.
Top of the league.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.